is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory, glory, oh, glory, glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Levan Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I don't know what it is that you do at 11 o'clock. Whatever it is that you do, though, I'm happy that you're doing that with me. It's an open line today. I got a couple of things that I want to talk to you about. But before we get to the things that I want to talk to you about, I want to do the one thing that I am sure indelibly and indefinitely and absolutely makes us all common. It is the commonality that together, accumulatively, creates a place we call the Commonwealth. It is the little bit of everything that we all are that makes us who we are, that we then pour in to where we are, that makes us what we are. And that is the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And this morning, we are again champions of the world. The thing I like about Bahamians, right, is going to the Olympics ain't enough for us. Oh no, we don't care. We don't care that the Bahamas is its entire population is made up of less people than counties of America. We don't particularly care that a country who is stretched over 500 nautical miles. We don't care that we live in sparsely populated islands. We don't care that our sports facilities are not what would be deemed internationally accepted in some places. We don't care that there's no real funding for athletes, and a lot of them have to actually become who they are before they get the funding they deserve. We don't really care that there are some track programs or some athletic development programs, but it's not like in countries where they kind of invest in that kind of stuff. And from you were six, you know, you was going to be an Olympian. Oh no. We don't care about that kind of stuff. We want you, on your own steam, to make it to the Olympics. And when you do, we want you to go there, and getting there ain't enough for us. Bahamians have been so spoiled by our athletes and their athletic ability that it don't count for us until you bring back gold. We ain't care which race it is. We ain't care how long the race was. We ain't care how short the race is. And I'm intentional about using my Bahamian dialect this morning because this is us I talking to now, all right? We ain't care how long it take you to get there, and we ain't care how much times you've been. And we ain't like them people who you could get away with saying, do you know that out of 7.8 billion people on the planet, less than 1% of the world's population will actually be Olympians? We ain't care. We ain't care that you get to say, if you are actually an Olympic athlete, or somebody that has competed at an Olympic level, you are considered creme de la creme on the planet as far as athleticism is concerned. We ain't care. We ain't care. Eighth fastest person in the Olympics? We ain't care. Eighth fastest person in the region? We ain't care. We ain't care about that either. Oh, but we do care about one thing as a country. Oh, we care about one thing as a country. We don't allow in the Bahamas our athletes to bring us no bronze. Oh, no. We'll take it. Thank you very much for your bronze. You did well. We'll see you again in 4 years. We have outgrown our appetite for silver. You remember the silver goddesses, right? But we as a country, 400,000 or thereabout people, over 500 miles or thereabout of country space, we as a people, oh, my friend, let me tell it to you, you could herald it from the highest point in the land, Mount Alvernia, the Hermitage. We want Olympic gold. And Stephen Gardner has, in a fashion unlike any other I've seen in a long time, in cruise control, delivered that for the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. I'll tell you what else is considerably notable to me, and I'm getting to it. There are two people that ran against Stephen Gardner this morning that ran personal bests. And the thing about that is so interesting for me is we're talking about professional athletes, man. See these ain't fellas from True the Corner. These are all professional athletes. And could you imagine that you've run the fastest you've ever ran in your life? You have run faster than you've ever run in your career. This is you at your very best. You couldn't run faster than this unless you was in a paso. Because that's what you need to get, Stephen. You need a paso. But think about it. You run a personal best. And in the words of Muhammad Ali, Stephen Gardner put you in the rope-a-dope. You can't get away from him if you try. Even with your personal best, this boy still rope you by almost a minute. Or not a minute. About, what is it, 4 seconds? 3 seconds, something like that? These are professionals we talk. And at your personal best. At your, my foot can't run no faster than this. At your, this all I got. At your, man, y'all can't see I running. Because, you know, the people in the stands, Alan, and they get here, run, run, run. And I believe the fella must be saying to himself, man, y'all can't see I running. Stephen Gardner, this morning, has given us all, as a nation, a reason to be proud, collectively, wherever you are, whether you are at the Lighthouse in Inago, or whether you are at one of the restaurants at Little Guana Key, this morning ought to be another moment in our history that galvanizes us. And so, thank you, Stephen Gardner, all the way in Tokyo, Japan. Thank you for what it is that you've done for the Bahamas. Thank you for living up to the expectation of the Bahamian people, because we ain't like nothing else but Olympic gold. Ali?
Thank you.
And so, wherever you are, being smartly at attention, in honor of a great nation who builds great people, and those people go on to become great, great athletes, and those athletes do great things, and they do those great things on the greatest stage ever. Olympic gold. 323-623-2323-254-316-325-4259. You can give me a call. 422-4796. You can give me a text. I got a couple other things that I want to talk about. I want us to talk about today. I mean, in the spirit of all of this jubilance, I want to talk about today some things that I've noticed, and I don't know why they are still the way they are. All right? It's August, Shannon Cartwright. It's August, Mark Humes. But I think it's largely Shannon Cartwright, because I think he has responsibility for roads and parks. It's August. We can take the flags down now. I can't cuss the people in the Haitian J-Jode or cuss the people at the Light Place or cuss everybody else, like the people over at Calvary Deliverance, that insist on leaving their Bahamian flag up at nighttime if the government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas continues to leave their flags unlit up at nighttime. See how difficult you make it for me to cuss people out if y'all don't do the right thing? But if the government does the right thing, right, then I can come here and ask people to do the right thing and to use the government or to emulate the government in their having done the right thing. So, Shannon Cartwright, wherever you are, Mark Humes, because you were responsible for the Independence Committee, I think y'all could take the government flag them down now. Please fold them up, iron them, put them in a nice box. We'll need them again next year, July. But I think we could take them down. We pretty much got the message. We're independent, okay? And all the other people who I call Calvary Deliverance, you know, the light company on the highway and the church on Mini Street, y'all could take y'all on down at nighttime as well. See, it's about national pride for me. Yeah? Perfect. The other thing I want to talk about is, I think this one is on Desmond Bannister. Desmond Bannister. Thomas, do me a favor. Could we please start clearing the drains? I don't know if you noticed, but it's August. And the drains all along A.F. Adley's corridor, all along Family Guardian's corridor, going down that hill, yeah, they're starting to grow grass out of them. And if grass is growing out of them, then that means there must be quite a bit of soil in them. And that would then mean that they can't take water in them. And I think that is going to be something of great concern. I don't want you all running around here like chickens with no heads once the rain starts to pour down. And we saw what happened on the weekend with that downpour of rain. We had places like Prince Charles that flooded. It's because those drains along that thoroughfare got grass coming out of them. And we pay you all pretty decent salaries. The least you could do is be able to keep the dirt out of the drains. That would be so helpful. We would appreciate that as a people and as a nation. If we're going to talk about a prideful nation, see, what Stephen Gardner has done this morning is something that ought to give us all pride and pause, right? We ought to look at ourselves as a nation, reflect on ourselves as a nation, and decide that we are going to continue to hold our banners in a way that the world can mark the manner of that bearing, right? But if we don't get these little things right about nationhood and nation building, then what is there to aspire to? When people think about the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, when people see, I mean, absolute magnificence in athletes like Shawnee Miller, like Stephen Gardner, I don't imagine that what it is they imagine is that we are a hodgepodge nation that simple things like get drains correct or take flags down. I believe that they look at us in a way that is stellar, and they see us as splendid, and they see us as a country of great diglossity. And they think of us as people who exist in a realm above them, because we have such magnificence that we display time and time and time again. The Bahamas is not a one-hit wonder, right? Like, we've been winning Olympic gold from the early 2000s. And with all of that national pride, right, we ought to make sure that at home, we display it in a way that the people around us feel the pride, that they can hear the pride, that it's visible. And these are the little things that make great things like the thing that happened this morning a little less enjoyable as we move towards this trek towards nationhood. That's my music. I go into the break. When I get back, I got more show for you. I see the phone lines are lit up. Y'all could either call me back after the break, or you could wait through the break. I'll be back. It's Stephen Miller. I'm unleashed on your radio. Stephen Gardner. He's got gold at the Olympics. We'll talk some more on the next side of the break. In these dangerous times, you need protection that you can depend on. International Security Alliance will keep your business and assets secure. Our team of skilled and professional officers provide an efficient and effective means to mitigate threats to our clients. Our services include executive chauffeuring, corporate office security, asset management, marina security, and canine security. Get the protection that you can trust. Call International Security Alliance at 601-0766 or at 601-0767. That's International Security Alliance. Enforcement through reinforcement.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The rock the top for two. The count depends on you. So tell to the go tell below. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure. We will be sure. Oh, Lord.
Welcome back. Thank you so much for staying with me. 323-622-3235-4316-3254-259. You can give me a call, 422-4796. You can give me a text. Something else I want us to talk about. I heard a voice note going around this morning. And can I say that there are some people on the planet that are nothing more than Neanderthals. I don't ever take them on with much weight because I realize that mentally, they're midgets, right? And so they don't possess the ability to think beyond a certain level. And so I heard there is a voice note going around by a female. I don't know the person, don't know who they are, but there is a voice note that's going around. And it's actually a voice note that said that it had been forwarded too many times. You know, WhatsApp does this thing now where they don't allow you to forward things more than a certain amount of times. And the woman is kind of going there, going on in the voice note, making very disparaging remarks regarding the Jamaican athletes, right? That ran against Shaunae Miller. And I thought it was such a distasteful thing. I don't know why it would have been shared that many times. I don't know what exactly was her issue. What I do know is that it is not who we are as a nation. And while we're talking about the things that give us not national pride, I think that we ought to walk back from that kind of thing, right? I think we ought to walk back from making disparaging remarks. And I know you ought not do it to anybody. I particularly believe you ought not do it to our Caribbean brothers and sisters. And why do I say our Caribbean brothers and sisters? In the Olympic world, as far as small developing island nations are concerned, the Bahamas and Jamaica are the powerhouses of this region. What I would really like to see is maybe some thought given to that by both the Bahamian government and the Jamaican government, because I think that maybe by now we should have developed like an athlete college of some sort where we kind of cross train our athletes. Obviously, the Jamaicans have something in the 100 that we don't seem to have. We seem to have something in the 400 that they don't seem to have. And maybe if we can kind of do this thing where we trade networks, trade training experiences, trade facility experiences, then maybe we, like I think it is, is this the Bible or is this just a proverb? We give the iron an opportunity to sharpen the iron, right? Rather than this notion that somehow we cannot coexist in the world, particularly with our Caribbean counterparts. I don't like that tone. And I think we ought walk back from that, right? So maybe in the Ministry of Tourism, the Ministry of Culture, the Ministry of Sports could actually consider something like this. Maybe we look at not an apprentice program because we have all professional athletes, But maybe we look at an exchange program and we have our athlete along with their entire team go to Jamaica for a couple of weeks, and they send their athletes with their entire team here to the Bahamas for a couple of weeks, and we do a little bit of cross training, and we do a little bit of, you know, acclimatization with the culture, etc. And who knows what would be born out of that. And what I do think is, because Jamaica has a population of 2.6 million people, certainly it would be to the benefit of the Bahamas, because, I mean, they just naturally have a larger population. Dollar for dollar, if we literally spent, if every Jamaican that came spent a dollar, that would be $2.6 million, versus if every Bahamian in the Bahamas went to Jamaica and spent a dollar, it would only be $400,000. So I think there is something to be gained here by the Bahamas as we work towards making a better region, as we work towards making more developed, more exposed athletes. And we can do away with the venom that I heard in the voice note this morning. Maybe that's something we ought to look at. I was just thinking about it. I kind of allow it to spin around in my head a little bit this morning. It could be something. We could create magic if we gave it a little bit of thought. Anyway, that's enough of me talking. Let's take a phone call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Good morning.
How are you?
Well, you know, it takes an analytical mind like yours to come up with an ingenious idea. You just drop on us, you know.
Well, you know, I just try.
Because, you know, when you really think about it, we're not in a vacuum anymore like we used to believe.
Right.
Anyway, when you become the minister, I'm hoping to see that done.
I promise I'll work on it.
Okay, now, the thing again is, there's something I want to point out. Because, you know, if something didn't stir in you this morning when you heard the results, I put it to you, you might not be Bahamian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean...
You may be a dead one.
Yeah, the walking dead. Mm-hmm. But I'm just simply saying, maybe we can use this, or people can walk around and use this as a litmus test, because now he gave us something to fight for. This is our country. And I want to know better, was he running for his personal best? Was he running for the Bahamas, or was he running for his life?
Mm-hmm.
Because he was really cruising it all through, man.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's like he had the race won.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah.
And I hope we can all inspire one another to be like that in everything we do, man. Keep it up. Good work.
Thank
Good
you, Carl. I appreciate it. Let's take another one. Good morning, Carl. You're on. Carl, you there?
Good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Man.
Hey, Ronald.
He should have still been down and still fight the system. You got to slow down at the end.
Yeah.
I see people, where you win, the man has been right down over you and win.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw when he pulled it back. He pulled it back right at the jetty. But that's because he already know he had the lines.
Why are you talking to Ben or dive in front of you?
Quite
fine, the coach win the game. Now, let me tell you, folks. Eddie Hanna, you're kind of young. Like mm-hmm. a fourth generation after him.
Mm-hmm.
He is the one that made every expat leave the country. That were managed to keep it in their hotels. He's the one who made the middle class.
Mm-hmm.
He is the one that tell every... And PI Hotel,
mm-hmm.
but seeing these black people to do this big job,
mm-hmm.
I got 55 years to train my people,
mm-hmm.
and he carried up, and he was fearless.
Mm-hmm.
He got thrown out the house for 50 times.
Mm-hmm.
He ran the house. He was like the lion. When the nurse said that, now he was the first speaker. His English was hard none. His budget people didn't speak for days. On budget.
Mm-hmm.
He was a lion, a fearless, warlike lion when it comes to humanization, government policy, and usual pick up watering holes.
Mm-hmm.
He worked hard, after work, you could see him a hawking it out. He drove himself. Nope, he didn't need no chauffeur around him. On bar 20 corner, you see that big DPM car. Get the cop there, playing the dog, I mean, no. Okay, Phil, you see that car. And every day he passed through Camp Road, you see a car, DPM car, to the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Every day you see him for somebody else getting
Road. Maybe he was a water and oil ambassador.
Oh yes, he was. I think the car knew how to find it home. The car knew that. Every day you see 80 on a DPM car on Camp Road, he getting cocktails.
Uh-huh.
Getting something from somebody, because he loved his people.
He was a man of the community. Yeah.
Love Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's who he was. He was a true public servant.
Yeah.
He didn't come to get rich.
Yeah.
He lived in the same house down by the jail.
Mm-hmm.
It was all Bush then.
Yeah.
Later, you see the old car going down in the back of the bush to the road.
Yeah.
He didn't come to get rich. No scandal.
Appreciate
he comes
it,
to serve the people.
Appreciate it, Robert.
All right.
Yeah. 323-623-2354-316-325-4259. Let's take a call. Come on and call. You're on. Call it up. Is it called up? Next call. Good morning, Collier. On. Not there. All right. I want to get a couple more things out of the way. Y'all could give me a call. So the next thing I want to know is, it's August. What is today? Today is August the 5th. Does anybody other than me recall that the Minister of Health said that we would have arrived at herd immunity by the summer? And I'm not really sure, but I think this is a summer. This is the summery as the summer will get for as long as it is, summer. And what is also quite funny is I think that the minister knew that he was disingenuous all along. And he was pulling what I have now affectionately deemed the Renwood Wells on us all. When he knew that his ministry didn't have or wouldn't have or couldn't have sufficient vaccines in country, right? There's still, I think, just over 100,000 people with the one dose, somewhere around 50,000 people. I'll get the exact number of people that have had the second dose. And the question I now ask is, what exactly is the penance to be paid for a minister with portfolio, not a minister of state, a full-carriaged minister, to have misled the Bahamian public at that magnitude? Herd immunity is something I imagine that he said publicly because he wanted to create a degree of calm in the public. But if you knew that you were having whatever difficulty you were having with the COVAX facility, and you were at the point where you had to be borrowing vaccinations, then on what authority did you speak? On what science did you speak? On what information did you speak when you asked, or when you suggested rather, that we would arrive at herd immunity by the summer? And could you give us the Ministry of Health's calendar so that we know when summer starts in the Ministry of Health? Because maybe your calendar is like the Chinese calendar and New Year's don't start for you when it starts for the rest of us. And so if you'd be so kind, honorable sir, I think it's time that you come back to the Bahamian people and tell them that that was hogwash, first and foremost. Secondly, I want you all to stop trying to blame the Bahamian people as if you all did not have insufficient amounts of the vaccine. And then I want us to know, what exactly is the penance that you pay when you mislead the public as a minister with portfolio? That is another thing I want to talk about. The other thing I want to talk about is the reopening of schools. I see Minister Jeffrey Lloyd is in there saying that they still don't know what exactly the plan for the reopening of schools is going to be. The difficulty I find, and the thing that is much to my chagrin, is the fact that that now leaves an already ailing community with minimal residual income or income at all in a position where they themselves, because of uncertainty, do not know what to do. Like, am I going to buy my son school uniform for his new school? Am I going to buy the books from the book list that will possibly be hovering somewhere in the area of about $300 or $400? Am I going to cut his hair? Because I see the little fellas around by the local community watering hole, man, they got all kind of fancy hairstyle. I ain't sure if we cutting all of them off. But the question becomes, what is the protocol going to be? Are we going to move now to a protocol where we allow our public schools to simply not wear uniforms for the next 2 years as we begin to make our way out of the pandemic? What is the economic spin-off or the economic policy affecting education going to be? I think we've got to come up with that, and I haven't heard it. These are some of the things I think are burdensome in the minds of people. I don't want to go buy school shoes because the only way he could wear them is to school. And if I buy them, they're going to sit in my closet and I'm not going to have any use for them. And the boy foot grows faster than anything I've ever seen. So by next year, they'll be no good to him. If I buy the uniform for the school that he's going into, he wears short pants this year and next year he goes into long pants. What will I do with the short pants if he can't wear them this year to school? Or should I just continue to dress him in clothes that I've already bought for him because I already have them at my house and they do not in any way affect his learning? And let me say that I've been opposed to uniform wearing all of my life. I don't know why they dress us all alike. It doesn't affect my brain any way at all. So I want these to be things that that I get some clarification on. What will be the plan? If there is going to be a virtual platform, then what am I going to buy books for? Can't they just download the material to the virtual platform and we all just read from that platform? There has to be an economic policy tied to the education policy. And I think that because we have become so overwhelmed with the health crisis that is COVID-19 and the economic spin-off of that health crisis, that is the mortgage crisis and the rental crisis and the home crisis, that we have neglected things like the drains and like the back-to-school policy. And while the minister is saying to me that his campuses will be ready in September, who will be going to them and what exactly will that look like? And I know he said that there are three platforms that they can take. They can do full virtual, full face-to-face, or a hybrid model. But as the parent that will invest the money in the uniform, in the necktie, in the crest, in the book, in the... Or should I save all that money to go and buy a laptop? Because we broke the first one. It wasn't the government one. I paid for the first one myself. And now I need to go buy another one. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. Let's take a call. Good morning, caller. You're on. Not there. Next call. Caller, you're on.
Hey, good day, Mr. Mill. What's up, my brother?
All is well, do it.
This an open line or this...
Go ahead, do it.
Listen, I want to say this to you, right? Most of the lots of times, right, mm-hmm. when something comes up with, this is something to do with a little bit, talk about politics a little bit. When it comes up with the PLP, you have talk show hosts at times, the majority of times when it's dealing with the PLP, I would use the word for a better word, hypothetically, they get bashed. Mm-hmm. But it's a report circulating. Now, what I'm about to say, people who like to text, because you seem like you don't have a voice. It's in the public domain, and it's also in the news. Mm-hmm. How is it, Mr. Miller, that you're not talking? I mean, I can't tell you what to say, but how is it that no one is talking about this? I guess it's a assessment or whatever they call it with the United States and the Bahamas with this corruption thing.
Well, I haven't talked about it because I simply haven't had an opportunity to read the document as yet to it, and I try to make it a practice not to come on this radio and spill a gate. So
fair
I'd
enough,
like to
enough,
read first, and once I've done that,
Mr. Miller,
I will offer my opinion.
I would encourage you, mm-hmm. right, my brother, mm-hmm. take a look at that and listen to me. I can take a script out of Mr. Mr. Puch. Mm-hmm. He said in his 83 years of him living on this earth, and his time of being involved with politics, this is the worst he's ever seen it. And this crew here, not Mr. Ingram, but this crew here, would make the PLP look like a bunch of choir boys. And listen to me. When you read that report, I pray to God that you raise that topic, and then we could go deeper into it. But like you say, you don't want to get into it because you haven't read it yet. So I respect that.
Yeah.
You have a good day, bro.
Appreciate you, DeWitt. Let's get a couple of these text messages out of the way. This one here says, Mr. Miller, Bahamian all the way. Great job, Gardner. Bring it home. Now, what will we do? What will the government do? They need to give him $100,000 up front. We need to show these athletes we care about them, incentivize them, all of our athletes. This one says, Miller, salute to Stephen, my boy. Say he ain't care if you was in top gear. It's gold for the Bahamas, for the Bahamaland. And take down tattered flags. Yes, I agree with you. Tattered flags also annoy me. Thank you, Levin, for playing our national anthem. I'm in Canada working, and I stood smart and tall. I'm so proud to be Bahamian. Well, God bless your heart all the way in Canada. Thank you so much for tuning in. Yes, we are competitive at Carifta, but when it's the Olympics, we are the Caribbean against the world. This one says, great show as usual. I hope the government don't just give him a cutter snack from Bamboo Shack and went dirty by 40 piece of property in Gambrode for winning the gold in the Olympics. This one here says, Levin, what is the status of rewards like land for our Olympic winning athletes? Are you still kicking the can down the road and not helping and rewarding these athletes? We have an annual $2 billion budget and do foolishness with millions. So we can find the money to reward these athletes for Olympics. There should be it's only once every 4 years. These are the recommendations. $70,000 prize for gold, $50,000 for silver, $30,000 for bronze. Levin, for that stupid voice note, we have to start holding the people who are forwarding these messages accountable. Also, if you forward those types of voicemails, then you are a disgrace and an embarrassment to your country. This one here says, as I lie in bed, my heart was beating fast as I pray for our country to win a gold. This tells me from the beat of my heart, I am Bahamian to the core. Bahamians, thank God, and let's celebrate. I tell you, Bahamians, listen to me. We don't care if you've been to the Olympics 95 times. If you ain't bring back gold none of them 95 times, we ain't into that. We ain't into that, all right? Go over there. Listen, go over there. And boy, bring one of them gold medal back, and then let's have a conversation. We expect it as Bahamians. This one here says, what about the tax-free day leaving? That also hasn't been announced. The tax-free day may not be necessary if the schools aren't open. I may not need any uniform. I may need to keep all of my money. Miller, our athletes don't train here. American colleges develop our athletes. Also, what is Jamaica's population? I'm sure they outperform us per capita. Jamaica is a true powerhouse. They are consistent. Stephen did well, but let's not continue to hyperbolization of this nation. We're okay, but not like Jamaica. And that is why I think we ought to create like a Caribbean athletic college, right? And I say college loosely, not like academic college with book and paper and that kind of stuff. But no, like, you know, we have a situation where we work out this thing where when people see Jamaica and the Bahamas get off the plane, they start playing the Ghostbusters music and they say, mother sick, them boys reach. And nothing they could do other than shudder and cringe at the mayhem and absolute pandemonium that just walked off of the plane. When we leave, the Olympic Association or whoever it is gotta go repour the track because we burn it. And maybe a little bit of cross training, maybe a little bit of, you know, cross relationships, cross culture sharing, etc. Who knows? Maybe that could make a better appearance for both us and Jamaica in the Olympics. And there's no need to have the banner. Let me send a special shout out to my friends over at BAF. I see Oman over there. Oman got on he got on Independence Color. I say, Oman, it's August. He say, boy, we win gold. I wearing everything, son. And so to the people over there at BAF, man, listen, we appreciate you all so much. Oman, man, you ain't got to put on all that. It ain't Independence, all right? The gold tie would have been enough. But the aqua and all this stuff, I sure was going on. Don't move. I'm leaving Miller. I'm unleashed on your radio. I've got more show on the next side of the break. And we ran
up. One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours.
In these dangerous times, you need protection that you can depend on. International Security Alliance will keep your business and assets secure. Our team of skilled and professional officers provide an efficient and effective means to mitigate threats to our clients. Our services include executive chauffeuring, corporate office security, asset management, marina security, and canine security. Get the protection that you can trust. Call International Security Alliance at 601-0766 or at 601-0767. That's International Security Alliance. Enforcement through reinforcement.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory. Glory.
Thank you so much for staying with me. Welcome back. Levin Miller here. I'm Unleashed on the Radio. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Listen, so yesterday while I was in my local community watering hole ambassador role, you know, I do it as often as I can because I believe that it is my job to bring light and life to the inner city by way of visiting its local community watering holes. And I ran into another Bahamian icon, someone that I consider a Bahamian icon, someone that I've watched for most of my life, Mr. Franklin Ferguson. You know him, Frankie the photographer, the one with the little derby hat and the camera always around his neck. And he's actually written a book called Through the Eye, and he gave me a signed copy, and he wrote a nice little tribute, and he said, to Levin, a future politician, radio host, to know where you are going, you must know where you are coming from. Enjoy the read and knowledge of the greatest little country in the world. And he signed it. I imagine that's going to make it a collector's item. And the book is called Through the Eye, right? An insight into history of black people in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And he has a little dedication in there, and I thought it was appropriate since the passing of the most honorable Arthur Dion Hanna. It says, this book is dedicated to the memory of Carlton E. Francis, an educator, soldier, motivator, inspirational minister, politician, philosopher, friend, and family man. And more importantly, for the purpose of this book, a nationalist. On the 10th of January, 1968, at the majority rule anniversary, he spoke before a vibrant audience who cheered. As he was speaking, suddenly he said, independence, spelling it out, the word independence. The audience became silent. For the first time, the word independence was spoken with such authoritative calmness, yet resonated with determination. Later that year, keeping an eye for the future, Carlton Francis, a descendant of Bimini and the Berry Islands, introduced the concept of independence to the cabinet when Premier Lyndon Pinlan, a champion of the people, was in London, England, on the nation's behalf in a Meet the Press television interview. Pinlan stated the Bahamas would not go independent for at least the next 20 years. Mr. Pinlan had the ability that once he heard your idea, he could adopt it as his original idea. And by the time you heard of it, it was so brilliantly incorporated that you would think it was his own idea. Deputy Premier Arthur D. Hanna, born 7th March 1928, and a native of Pompey Bay, Acklands, also a nationalist, sat in the cabinet chair. Carlton E. Francis planted the seed of independence. Premier Lyndon Pinlan gave birth to it. One planted and the other one reaped. And that is quoted, a quote from Mr. Franklin Ferguson, again, the author of this book, Through the Eye, an insight into the history of black people in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. So you see, my time in the inner city community is all spent very well. As I go around being the best ambassador of local community watering holes, and of course of stray kitten capturing as I can be. All right, so when you all see me, stop, and you know, I may be thirsty, see about my thirst as you traverse along the inner city, and ensure that I have the strength and wherewithal to be able to carry out my ambassador role in and around the local community areas, all right? Let's read a couple more of these text messages. This one here says, good morning, Mr. Miller. The Ministry of Education knows exactly what they are going to do. They are going to wait until the last second to announce hybrid, and then when there is an outbreak, be secretive about it until it gets into the public, and then switch to virtual learning. It's the same problem we endured last year. They have not consulted teachers on the matter to hear what we would recommend as the adult solely responsible for your darlings when they come into the classroom and as the main stakeholders in operating and facilitating the one-on-one virtual platform and the Zoom teams at sessions. We are all waiting, though. And that is sad. That actually gives me a bit of palpitations when I think about the fact that listen to me, money tight. I don't know about you all. COVID has affected every single business that I am involved in. Money tight around this place, all right? I got it. That is about as Bahamian as I could put it this morning. And I tell you, I use in my Bahamian jargon and colloquialism because I need to make sure you all understand the national pride I feel this morning hearing about Stephen Gardner's wonderful victory, right? I got it. Jeff, I got it. All right? And I need you all to tell me if I going to spend this $1,500 on school and things like that, or if I could save this $1,500 and, you know, do charitable things with it. But I won't give it to the uniform people if they need no uniform to go to school with. I won't give it to the book people if they need no book to go to school with. I won't give it to the pencil people or none of them other people because I need it. Why? Because I ain't got it. So please, let me know what the plan is. You see, because y'all have fallen asleep at the wheel. We still don't know if ground transportation could go back to 100%, although I see the bus drivers have decided that they will return it to 100% on their own accord, Mr. Control of Road Traffic. You may want to look at that, right? Secondly, what will happen when the population of the school children hit the road again. If the buses are now at 65 and 70% capacity, when you introduce those school children back to the public transportation system, you're probably going to have 100% ridership. More people are going to be sending their children out to school because more of them actually have jobs to go back to now, which means there are going to be more people on the buses, which means the fare that I had earlier may actually be realized this time. Have we figured out a plan for that, or are we still going to talk this nonsense about 50% ridership? And then how in God's name are we going to get the children to school? We've got to think about these things. But more important than that, man, I ain't got it. So if we ain't got to spend this money on like uniform and that kind of stuff, please don't make me spend it in vain. All right? I really care about y'all and I want y'all to care about me. 3236232325 4316. 3254259. This one here says, stop it, Miller. Ain't get her promise. So, what is this? Should this be Shawnee Miller? Shawnee Miller ain't get her promised land yet. Suck my teeth. Stop it, Miller. Any medal in the Olympics matters. Not to Bahamians. Oh, you don't know what I say. You don't know what I say. Man, if you get bronze, we say, oh, bless the Lord, he bring back a bronze. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God, that's a good boy. Good, he bring a bronze. Hallelujah. Well, let's say bronze is better than nothing. Oh, yes, Lord. That's what we say. If you bring a silver, you say, man, boy, he was so close. Man, that fella run. That boy could run, eh? My Jesus. He almost had him. If he'd have just lifted his knee on the bend, we just had him. If the race was a little longer, we find 65 reasons as to why we didn't get gold. Oh, but when we get gold, you can't talk to us, man. We's diplomat, honey. We don't dip in fat. Talk to who? Us? Never. We is Olympic gold medal champions, and it ain't nothing you can say to us, and that's all the medal Bahamians is look for. 3236232. I've got about 4 minutes left. 3254316, 3254259. More text message. This one here says, I'm so proud of Stephen Gardner, but y'all know all the government could do and afford is a Junkanoo Russell film. Well, that's all they give to Andrew Eaton. A Junkanoo Russell on the M on the tarmac. This one here says, Bahamas gone gold. It is a gold rush. I don't know. That sound a little non-Olympic kindness. Levin, if you Google Dr. David Andrews, he is a scientist at UM at Jackson Memorial who sequenced the virus. He said this Delta variant is as contagious as chicken pox. That's scary. That is scary. I don't know if I could deal with another variant of any kind of virus. I'm sure I'm not the only one. I am very tired though of COVID. I am. I implore you all to continue to be as responsible as possible. Continue to wash your hands as often as possible. Continue to take off your clothes when you get at home. Stop laying your COVID body. You done been out. People been spitting all on your hand. And then if it's one thing COVID helped me realize, if I've never realized anything else in this COVID environment, I'll tell you the one thing I realize more now than I ever noticed before in my entire life. Y'all is one bunch of wet mouth people. All y'all mouth wet. I can't figure this out. Every time I see people now, I just see little glitters of sprinkles spraying off of people's mouth. And I don't know how this is happening. It's making me very nervous. And then there are some people you try to get 3 feet away from them, but everything they want to say to you is in a whisper. And you can't whisper from 3 foot, right? And y'all like to talk secret. And y'all mouth wet. So, you know, while you may have been able to protect your mouth and nose with the mask, wet mouth, my man, been over there wetting up your left arm all day. Now your left arm all wet up. You go home in bed, lay on the bed, and all of a sudden, the COVID on the sheet now. You go home the day after that, you rub your face on the sheet, and bam, COVID got you. Wet mouth, my man, been talking to you all that time. The wetness on your forehead. You go right there, decide you could do a little bit of workout, sweat drain off your forehead and your eye, bam, COVID got you. Wash your hand, wash your face, take these clothes off, because these one bunch of wet mouth people around here, and I don't want y'all to get COVID like that. Anyway, that's my music, so that's my time. It's Levin Miller. This is Gotti. This is Gotti Radio 96.9 FM. The station for fresh news and smart talk. Don't move. Stephen Gardner's got gold, but Guardian's got the news next.
Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion.